You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Big. Welcome in on this Saturday afternoon here on 98.7 ESPN. Anita Marks with you for the next 3.5 hours. Wow. Ty's producing the show back in our new digs in New York City. Brand spanking new digs, from what I understand. A lot of us are still working from our home studios. So without further ado, we've got a great show lined up for you today. As always on Saturday, we've got a lot of people stopping in, a lot of topics to touch on as we look forward to week 11 of the NFL season. Mike Tannenbaum is going to be joining us momentarily. Also, Cynthia Freeland is always at 2 o'clock. Bill Barnwell is a little under the weather, so he is not going to be joining us this afternoon. But Bobby Marks is going to join us. Obviously, the NBA draft was this week, and there's a lot of moving and grooving going on when it comes to NBA and free agency. So Bobby's going to stop in. We'll talk some Knicks. We'll talk some Nets. We'll talk about the future of the NBA, what to look forward to this next coming season. And a very special guest, as we know, Mike Westhoff, is going to be joining us at 1:30. Mike Westhoff is the man who pretty much plucked Taysom Hill out of the bowels of the practice squad with the Saints. And really is the man who engineered this rags-to-riches story. And Mike is going to join us at 1:30 to share his story with us here on 98.7 ESPN. So I'm really, really excited to have Mike on. And, of course, Joe Wiz is going to join us with his picks. And our phone lines are open, as you know, the entire 3.5 hours. We'll get into some fantasy football. It's week 11. I know how important that is. 800-919-3776. But, like I said, without further ado, Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
Good, Anita. You know, Bobby Marks and I did a job swap, so I'm ready to talk about all things NBA, Gordon Hayward opting out, maybe going to the Knicks, how the Lakers overpaid for Montrezl Harrell. There's so much to get to, so really excited.
Is that what we're going to do? Mike Tannenbaum is joining us to talk NBA, and Bobby Marks will join us to talk NFL around 1 o'clock this afternoon. You guys, that you're in cahoots together, this was already agreed upon?
Absolutely, and look, I know enough to be dangerous. I got a lot of good friends in the NBA, and privileged to have represented a bunch of them, including Steve Kerr, and have a lot of friends in the league, and love NBA.
Are you, I mean, before we dive into our NFL conversation, and it's probably the most talked about topic, especially in the last 24 hours, are you a big NBA fan? Do you have a team that you root for? Is there an organization that you follow more so than others?
Probably the Clippers. Just have a lot of personal and professional interest there. And between my time at the Jets and Dolphins, I've represented coaches. So in the 2015 finals, when the Cavaliers played the Warriors, I had both head coaches in Steve Kerr and David Blatt. And that was a lot of fun and learned a ton. And like I said, still have a lot of friends in the league. So it's a real passion of mine.
Listen, we learn something new about Mike Tannenbaum each and every show. So that's pretty cool. All right, well, let's dive into one of the biggest topics, again, the last 24 hours. And just to refresh everyone, Adam Schefter yesterday around 10, 11 a.m. reported that Taysom Hill is going to start at the quarterback position for the Saints heading into this week. Diana Rossini followed that report that Jameis Winston isn't even going to have a series, and there's been no preparation for him to come in and play quarterback. So in essence, with those two reports, we're expecting a heavy dose of Taysom Hill for all four quarters, which surprised a lot of us. I anticipated Taysom Hill to split the carries with Jameis Winston. I thought he'd get a huge uptick in usage behind center. But I did not anticipate, especially with all the reports, as soon as Drew Brees went down, Mike, that he would be given the keys to the car. And what a car this is. I mean, this is a Maserati. So with that being said, Mike, your thoughts on the decision of Sean Payton going all in on Taysom Hill?
Yeah, I think context here is really important, Anita, in terms of Taysom Hill has been there for a number of years. Jameis Winston, this is his first year. Something I have the privilege of talking about every Sunday with you is all things the NFL. And again, there was no offseason program, no training camp. And if Jameis Winston is number three, I mean, he probably got very, very, very few reps. between breweries and case of pills. So this makes a lot of sense to me, at least short term. And by no means do I think this could be the end of the road for Jameis Winston. I think this is just a pragmatic aspect of what we're dealing with in 2020.
You know, I find it interesting. Again, I'm going to have Mike Westhoff on the show around 1:30 this afternoon, and a lot of my quote-unquote insight on the situation comes from Mike Westhoff. I speak to Mike Westhoff quite frequently. He's probably one of my favorite humans on the planet. And so that's kind of how I got to know Taysom Hill. And, in fact, at one point in time when he was the special teams coach for the Saints, he asked me to do a story on Taysom Hill. And so I went to, and again, I don't recall if it was a Jets game or a Giants game, but the Saints were in town, and I went there. I went to the game. I sat down. I spent like a good 30 minutes with Taysom Hill. The young man is just exceptional. He's just an absolute sweetheart. I couldn't be more thrilled for somebody. But it's evident to me that Sean Payton sees so much potential in him, and this is a project. This has been a project for Sean Payton for over a year now. And the game plan has been for over a year now that once Drew Brees decides to enter that broadcast booth that he's getting paid so handsomely to do next season, that the reins were going to be given to Taysom Hill. So this decision is not a surprise to me, as it is, I think, to most people. But have you ever been in a situation where you've been around a head coach that just falls in love with a player and is just dead set on doing everything that he can to make that player sensational?
You know, that's really the job of a head coach, is to get his players better. That's job number one. And I'm sure Sean Payton's trying to invest in all his young players. But look, they put themselves in a good position. They got a aging veteran in Drew Brees, and then they have, you know, two really interesting guys in Hill and Winston. And, you know, Taysom Hill is a dynamic athlete who can not only get the ball down the field, but he's hard to tackle. He reminds me a little bit of Tim Tebow, Anita, because he's big, he's thick, he's hard to tackle. It should be really fascinating to watch him play and see what they do. And again, like, I think we have to be measured here in terms of, you know, Jameis Winston hasn't been there that long. So again, I don't think his story is over, but boy, I think the eyes of the football world are really intrigued by what will Sean do with him. I think it's probably safe to assume, Anita, that we'll see him outside the pocket a lot. I think we'll see a lot of gadget plays, getting the ball on the perimeter to Michael Thomas, Kamara. So I think it's going to be a really fun and exciting game to watch.
Oh, I, as I said on Daily Wager yesterday, buckle up, grab your popcorn. This is going to be fun. I'm curious to get your thoughts on the Atlanta Falcons side, right? Like Raheem Morris, he's taken over from Dan Quinn. And ever since he has, listen, they're 3-1. They should be 4-0 if it wasn't for a bonehead play by Todd Gurley, let's be honest. You know, this is a team that has played a lot better. They're coming off of a bye. Julio Jones is expected to be healthy. But here's the thing, you know, and I don't know, obviously, you know, nobody really knows like how this team has prepared for this matchup, because the world was expecting Jameis Winston. I want to assume, we know what happens when somebody assumes, but I'm still going to assume that the Atlanta Falcons and ran their scout team as if Jameis Winston was winning, was running a Teddy Bridgewater Saints offense. And I'm sure they spent some time trying to prepare for Taysom Hill, but I would imagine that the majority of the time they spent preparing for Jameis Winston. With that being said, and then this announcement coming out tomorrow, and then, of course, as we know, you've got the travel day today, not a lot of time to pull the troops back in and say, let's redo this. What do you think is going through the mind of the Falcons right now? And because this defense really doesn't know what to expect, how much of a concern or how worried do you think they're going to be tonight, not knowing what's to come tomorrow?
Well, typically what happens is when you're in a situation like that, you play a little bit more vanilla. So I expect a lot of zone, a lot of cover two, a lot of cover three. I think they'll have a lot of eyes on the quarterback just in terms of, you know, staying vanilla, making sure that they can keep Hill in front of them, contain that running game. And, maybe they'll have more exotic things in the second half or hold some things for him. But when you're in a situation like that, Anita, it typically makes the defense play a little bit more generic, at least initially. And I'm sure Raheem and the Falcons, I'm sure they've had a plan on both. I don't think it would be, you know, really, it would be irresponsible not to.
Two more games I want to touch on with you really quick before I let you go. One is the Kansas, and they're both the night games, the Sunday and the Monday night game. The Kansas City Chiefs going up against the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Raiders being, you know, decimated with the COVID-19. What, like 11 defensive players weren't able to practice this week. I spoke to Paul Gutierrez yesterday on my show, and he doesn't sound very optimistic in regard to the Raiders being able to do much against Kansas City, especially. And I brought up the bulletin board material, right? Like Gruden and the Raiders bus doing laps around Arrowhead Stadium, which definitely irked Andy Reid. And more importantly, I don't think you want to tick off Patrick Mahomes. So your thoughts on this Kansas City Raiders game?
You know, it's a rivalry game. You know, it's a division game. It's an important game for both teams. But I think one of the things that we should even get into, you know, more, Anita, in terms of over the coming weeks is, you know, there's only one team with a bye. So when you look at the difference between Pittsburgh and Kansas City, there's one loss between the two of them. And this is as much of a out of a race for the bye as it is for the AFC West. So this is an enormous game for both teams. And I expect Kansas City to play really well. And I think we'll get their A game tomorrow.
And last but not least, in regards to the Rams and the Bucks, there's been a lot made with the Rams losing. And why is his name escape me right now? Whitmore, Andrew Whitmore, right? Their tackle. But Ali Marpet, who's also known as a top four guard in the NFL, has not passed concussion protocol. I was texting with Jenna Lane. She doesn't anticipate him to play on Monday night because of the concussion issues. To me, that's an even greater hit on the offensive line on the Tampa Bay Bucs side, because now you've got a subpar offensive line going up against an Aaron Donald who has never sacked Tom Brady in his career and is eyeing to do so not once but several times on Monday night. Your thoughts on how you think this Rams-Bucs game is going to play out, considering that there's a chance that Ali Marpet will not be active for Tom Brady on that offensive line?
Yeah, Anita, as usual, you make it a great point, which is like, here we are talking about all these great weapons that, you know, Tampa has, and we're talking about a guard, and I think that's right, because Aaron Donald could ruin the game. So regardless if Marpet plays, they're going to have to double-team Donald literally every play because he can wreck the game all by himself. So I expect Bruce Arians to be, you know, protection-centric. And what we saw in the last couple of weeks, when they don't protect Tom Brady against the Saints, they look awful. And when they do against Carolina, they look dominant. So I expect a much more intelligent sort of protection scheme, starting with how do we defend Aaron Donald.
Great stuff as always, Mike. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday afternoon, and I will see you tomorrow. Again, a reminder, New York game day. Mike Tannenbaum and I, we kick it off at 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN. Mike, enjoy your afternoon.
All right, Anita. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it. More to come. We'll open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. What are your expectations for this this Saints-Falcons game? I find it extremely fascinating. Also this hour, we will dive into some Giants and Jets talk as the Jets get ready to take on the Chargers. Jets fans, you know, it's evident. I hate to use the word tanking, but at this point, will we ever see Sam Darnold in a Jets uniform again? I highly doubt it. I believe that the writing's on the wall that he's going to be traded. The Jets made some moves this week just to once again confirm that, you know, their goal is to go 0-16 this season. And of course, you've got a lot going on with Joe Judge and the Giants. So we'll dive into all of that next.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
This hour here on 98. So you can listen to The Michael Kay Show. And if you do, you could reap benefits. 20 and 20 contest continues Monday at 3 o'clock. Only 3 chances left to score big. So make sure you're tuned in for Monday. The guys are giving away an all-star cookout combo from Kansas City Steaks, including fillets, ribeyes, strip steaks, lobster tails, ooh, and more. Sign me up for the lobster tails. It's a 20 and 20 contest, and it's brought to you by PC Richard and Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and of course 98.7 ESPN. So make sure you tune in all week long. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Richard in Manhattan. Richard, welcome in. Okay, sorry, we lost Richard. Let's go to Sal in Dutchess. Sal, welcome in. Sal, you there?
Yes. Oh, okay. I just heard the bell. Thank you, Anita. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Quick question on the Jets. I was listening to the R.J. Bell this morning. He loves the Jets. He said they're getting 4-1 odds, take them off out of you coming from a bye. And I got them in my suicide pool. I have the Chargers in my suicide pool. What should I do?
So wait, you're taking the Chargers, or are you taking
yeah.
the Jets?
No, and I'm taking,
and
did the Chargers in my suicide.
The Chargers.
Pool. Yes, and he
okay.
said.
And but is Bell, is he saying to take the Jets with the points, or is he saying that the Jets are going to win outright?
This is what he said. He said put $60 down on the Jets with the points.
60.
Put $40 mm-hmm. down. Well, that's what he said, but, you know. But I'm just saying, at 4-1, the Jets are like 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm like you. I think they're going to – they're getting rid of everybody. I can't see them winning anything. You know, and I'm, yeah. I'd rather stay with it. I just, you know. And then my other question is with the Chiefs. I mean, I know, you know, the other teams, they say they're going to have the corona – it's, you know, if the Chiefs beat the hell out of them, then they're going to say, oh, they were all sick. Or does it move the line a lot? Have you noticed the line move?
I would not. I would stay away from that Chiefs Kansas City game. Have you already used Jacksonville?
Well, I'm going against Jacksonville whenever they come up. So why would you take them?
I would like to me in a survivor pool.
Yeah.
I would take Jacksonville this week. That's what I would take.
You think they're going to beat the Steelers straight up?
No. I'm sorry. I have Jacksonville losing this week, so I would take Pittsburgh.
I can't.
Yes.
I already used Pittsburgh.
You've already used Pittsburgh. And so what you're saying is that you have not used the Chargers yet.
Right. I haven't used the Chargers yet. I've used the Vikings. I haven't used the Chiefs. Seattle.
Have you used Minnesota? Have you used Minnesota yet?
I was thinking about Minnesota. I have to ask my wife to see what if I use Minnesota or not.
And okay, because the wife always knows.
Well, she has the thing. Let me ask you another question. You have no anything with Andy Dalton, you don't like the way, I mean, he does have the receivers. You don't think he could distribute a ball?
He does have the receivers, but he came out, Sal, and I appreciate your phone call. Thank you, Sal.
Thank you.
So just to put a big fat, we'll call it a green bow, because hopefully we're here to help you win some money. My number one choice in a survival pool this week is the Chargers. If you've already used the Chargers, I would consider Minnesota. Andy Dalton came out this week and talked about how he has been in this the COVID funk, the COVID fog, as a lot of people like to call it. And I have quite a few friends who did contract COVID, not seriously, thank God. They didn't have to go to a hospital. They weren't put on any kind of breathing device. But they're still, you know, they still don't have the taste. They still can't smell. They don't have sense of smell, sense of taste. And also they're kind of in this, like, this fog. You know, forgetting things, going to the store without their wallet, or walking into office buildings that is not their office and it's not their building, and they don't understand how they got there. So, and Andy Dalton said that he's still experiencing those things. So that's first and foremost. This is a Dallas team that now has to head to Minnesota. Minnesota just came off of a really impressive win against the Chicago Bears. Granted, you know, no bells and whistles when it comes to Nick Foles, that's for sure, but the Bears defense is good. And Dalvin Cook has just been a complete beast. So so Minnesota would be my second choice. But I would stay away from the Kansas City Raiders game. Raiders beat Kansas City once already. And I get the whole COVID-19 thing, but it's in Las Vegas. I would just stay away from it, to be quite frank. Ty, now I know you produced the Dave show prior to us starting here.
I did.
So is Bell anticipating an upset by the Jets, or is he just saying take the points?
No, he said his play of the week and, you know, of the decade, actually, is the Jets, who will upset the Chargers tomorrow.
that they will upset
they will
the Chargers.
Upset. So you said bet the money line and bet that they'll cover the 9.5 points. He says if you have if you have $100, because what is it, plus 400?
Mm-hmm.
If you have $100 that you're betting, bet 60 on
now,
covering 9.5 and then bet 40 on the money line, straight up.
Right. Obviously, he's a hedge fund guy. So what... Just out of curiosity, what was his reasoning? Do you recall like what his bullet points were as to why he believes the Jets are going to beat the Chargers tomorrow?
Well, if it's a close game, you've got someone on the opposite sidelines who just, when it comes to, you know, trying to win something like that, is just
Anthony Lynn,
a dumpster fire. Any chance he gives you to try to win the game, you will get it. And the Jets coming off a bye as a bad team, trying to get that, you know, trying to get that first win. They're going to be desperate against a team that, again, only has two wins on the season. So the Anthony Lynn effect in close games, plus the Jets' desperation, just wants badly to get that one win. He goes, bet the Jets to win, +9.5 and money line.
Interesting. All right, I'm going to marinate in this for a minute. I know we've got quite a few callers calling in regard to the Jets. When we get back, I will share with you how I'm playing. This is one of my plays this week on Daily Wager. When we get back, I will share with you how I'm playing this game, and I'll give you my thoughts in regard to what I think is going to transpire with the game script I think is going to be for the Jets and the Chargers.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
He's doing good. I think he's feeling better. I think we got a good shot for the next game. I mean, he's progressing in the right direction. We'll just kind of see how this weekend goes and how he feels, you know, Monday, Tuesday. And then we'll be able to know on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm pretty optimistic. I mean, saying he has a good shot, you know.
Still, Rich, I'm trying to keep it up. Be optimistic. I know you hate that, but
I'm a little taken aback. But okay, so you must. So he'll continue with that program right up until practice time next
right.
week.
That is Adam Gase talking about, of course, Sam Darnold. If there was a wager out there that we will never see Sam Darnold grace green again, Jets green, I would put money on it. Let's be honest. Let's have a moment of honesty here, okay? And for all you Jets fans out there, is one win worth it? I understand that we're compromising the organizational atmosphere in the organization, but. Did you, by the way, Ty, do we have that, the audio from Jamal Adams talking about how depressed he was when he was here playing for the Jets and how his dad called his agent saying, I got to get my son out of here? Do we have that, by the way?
Oh, yes, we do indeed have that audio.
Okay, if you can, I'll give you a minute just to cue that up.
I have it now.
Okay, but let me set it up. So here's the thing, right? Like, because I'm sure that there are Jets fans. I know they're Jets fans because I have friends that are Jets fans, and we've had this conversation, that want the Jets to go 0-16, which, by the way, you can wager that they'll go 0-16. I think that would be a very wise wager. But in doing so, obviously you are then securing yourself to get the number one overall pick, which therefore we're all anticipating it to be Trevor Lawrence, right? Like the G, as Kyler Bowler, quarterback who once graced wore purple for the Ravens, was called Jesus in cleats when he played at Cal. So the savior to come here to New York and save this Jets franchise, okay? And with a slew of course, all the other picks that Joe D has been able to accumulate and put those picks in great situations, whether it's the second or third round or fourth round or sixth round, whatever the case may be, right? So I know that there are Jets fans out there that are rooting for that. But what are you compromising? You're compromising organizational atmosphere, organizational attitude, organizational culture. I've spoken to a number of head coaches. And when an organization loses, as much as the Jets have lost, there is a losing mentality that just permeates and seeps and lives in the walls and the bowels of that franchise. And it's hard to, you can't go in there and just, like, you know, grab a can of Lysol and get it out. You can't. And so that's what you're sacrificing. And unfortunately, this is a Jets franchise that has been losing for many, 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 many seasons. Hence, Jamal Adams communicating. Was this a blog? Was this a blog? This is somebody's blog, right? Ty, this was somebody's blog, right?
What's that?
Where this Jamal Adams comments came from? He was on somebody's.
It's a podcast. It's called
somebody's
All Things Covered podcast.
All Things Covered podcast. So let's play this clip. This is Jamal Adams talking about his time here in New York.
Man, we finished 7-9, right? And we came into the locker room. Everybody was happy, clapping it up, and it was just like, what do I really want? Can I stand this again? Because, bro, I fought depression in New York, bro. And I'm man enough.
Really?
I fought depression, bro.
Wow.
Oh, but there's been so many times to where I've came home after a loss, a tough loss, and just sat in my room, bro, in the dark. No phone, no TV. And Pops will walk in and be like, hey, man, you all right? He hated to see me like that. It killed my Pops so much, come to find out. He was calling my agent at the time and saying, hey, man, I don't like seeing my son like this. I need him out of this situation. So it got so bad to where it took a toll on my life outside of football to where I had to make a move. I had to get out there because I knew what I wanted, and I wanted to win. It was like, man, they do not want to win.
So that's Jamal Adams this week. So obviously, this is what you're sacrificing when an organization is presenting itself in a way that it doesn't want to win. And what do we mean by that? I'm not 100% sold that Sam Darnold can't suit up this week. But I understand the organization not wanting to start him and possibly injuring him further. If there's an opportunity that they could trade him, maybe get a fourth round draft pick for him because they're going to move on to Trevor Lawrence. Just recently this week, they cut their one DB who leads the team in interceptions. I don't quite understand that. Somebody wants to explain that to me. And also, I believe Brian Poole was placed on IR. So now they're traveling across the country to go to LA to take on a Chargers team that arguably has, and I say arguably, he would get my vote. I understand that Tua has done incredible things the last 2 weeks, but nonetheless, I still think Justin Herbert deserves Rookie of the Year. The reason that this team only has 2 wins and tie, I pulled up their record. I think it's important for folks to know, and I'm really curious why RJ Bell is so dead set that he feels that this is the bet of the century. This is a team that only lost to the Raiders by 5 points. And I think people are sleeping on the Raiders. I think if the Raiders' entire defense did not contract COVID-19, I think the Raiders have the ability to sweep the Kansas City Chiefs this season. They lost to the Saints by 3 points. They lost to the Buccaneers by 7 points. They only lost to the Chiefs by 3. The point differential of win and losses is very narrow here. So, and I believe that the Chargers, they get Chris Harris back in their secondary. And the Chargers have one of the best secondaries in the NFL. Again, a quarterback who I think should and will win Offensive Rookie of the Year this year. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Hunter Henry. Balaj has been unbelievable this season. So my money's on the Chargers. Not only is my money on the Chargers, I don't like to lay more than 7, 6.5 points in any game that I wager on. So I'm going to use the Chargers as a teaser, and I'm going to tease them down to -3.5, -3, wherever I can get it. Okay, so that's one way that I'm going to play it. Another way is I really like playing a player to score a touchdown and team win, that player-team parlay. Keenan Allen to score a touchdown and the Chargers win, you could get at +125. And Balaj to score a touchdown. Again, he's been sensational the past 2 weeks. Hopefully you have him in fantasy. To score a touchdown and the Chargers win, you could get at +140. So that's just a few different ways that I'm going to be playing this Jets-Chargers game. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Eric in Albany. Eric, welcome in.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Hi. Welcome.
I was just wondering if you briefly mentioned it before, but what kind of value you see in +200 for the Jets to go 0-16. if you're looking at their schedule, I feel like they get through this week with a loss. They got to be double-digit underdogs in most of the rest of the games.
So is that what you're finding it right now? For them to go 0-16, it's plus 200?
Yeah, plus 200.
Okay, so are we both in agreement they lose this week to the Chargers?
Yeah, I would say
okay.
So.
Let's go through the schedule together, okay? The Dolphins, I think we're burying the lead here. Everybody is all enamored with Tua. It's not about Tua. It's about their defense. Their defense, top five scoring defense in the NFL. They're playing this zero blitz scheme where they remove their deep safety. They disguise stuff. Guys can't even make what the hell they're doing. So I don't see Joe Flacco, or if Sam Darnold by chance does come back, I think they lose to the Dolphins. Then they're going up against the Raiders. They got
shut out the first time they played them too.
Then they're going up against the Raiders. Again, I think the Raiders are a sneaky good team. I like the Raiders to make the playoffs, by the way. Not sure what your odds are on that. I would put money on that. I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders upset Kansas City again this week. I'm not counting on it, but I wouldn't be shocked if they did. Then they're at Seattle. Now, we saw Seattle take on the Cardinals this week. I think at least I underestimated the addition of Snacks Harrison, who was activated off the practice squad, and the addition of Carlos Dunlap on the defensive line. It really wreaked havoc for the Cardinals offensive line as well as Murray. So Seattle's defense just got a little bit better on the defensive line. And, of course, you're going up against Russell Wilson, who should tear the Jets apart. Then they're at the Rams. Good luck with that. Maybe the only game that I think that they would have a chance is home against the Browns. And depending on where the Browns are at that point, their defense is, like, I want to say, ranked 25th in the NFL. I'm not really big on the Browns. And then I think the Patriots are going to be playing that last game to try to get in as a wild card. So, and they're at New England. Yeah, good luck with that. So the only game on the schedule that I think the Jets even have a chance of winning is home against the Browns. And that's a long shot. So at plus 200, why not?
Yeah, I definitely saw a good value in that. So I wanted to get what you thought. I definitely agree.
I mean, because really, at the end of the day, if you're looking at the schedule the way that I'm looking at the schedule, you know, really what you're doing is if the Jets win, it's one game. They'll be lucky to win one game. So really what you're doing is you're putting money on any one of these opponents, and you're getting them at plus 200. And whether that's the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Seahawks, the Rams, the Browns, or the Patriots. In essence.
Yeah, no, I definitely see good value in that, so I just want... I heard you talk about it before, and I saw it at plus 200, so that kind of caught my eye.
Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Marvin in the Bronx. Marvin, you're up. Welcome in.
I need a long time to speak to.
How are you?
How you doing? I'm good. I'm about to have another grandson.
Ooh, congratulations.
Yeah, that's 12 in the first great-grand... And 12 grandkids. But here's the thing. Well, I'm a Giant fan, but I'm on the outside looking in at the Jets situation.
There's right.
Two words to describe their problem. Adam Gates, that coach is a cancer. I saw him in an interview, and it's just an intuitive feeling I got about the guy. I said, this guy will never win in the NFL. And it's a shame that this man ruined the talent like Sam Darnold. This young man came out of USC with high expectations and would have been a very proficient quarter NFL. I mean, he's torn down his confidence, and they need to get rid of him.
Yeah, you know, Adam Schefter, I was watching, you know, ESPN, and thank you for your phone call, Marvin. I appreciate it. I was watching ESPN one night prior to a Monday night game. As you know, Monday Night Football is hosted by us. And Adam Schefter was on with Susie Colbert and Booger, and they flat out asked him, like, is Adam Gase coming back next year? And... Schefter said no. You know, obviously we haven't heard much. I had Rich Cimini on the show not too long ago. Rich Cimini doesn't expect Adam Gase to be back either. So, you know, I I'm not someone, listen, I don't like calling for someone's job. Because here's another thing, and I'm sure some listeners are aware of this, maybe some are not, but like when you call for when fans are calling for a coach's job, it's not just that coach. Like, understand that primarily, well, majority of the time, that coach's entire staff loses their job. Because whoever you bring in, they're going to want to hire their own people. They want to hire their own people that they trust. They want to hire their own people that come in that they have faith and confidence in. So, you know, it's a sad, listen, at the end of the day, it's a sad situation. And of course, Adam has brought this on himself. I get it. Track record here has not been good. I think the Jets do need to move on from him. And another thing is, you know, because there's been a lot of talk and speculation in regards to Trevor Lawrence, like, will he come out of college? Will he agree to come out of college and agree to sign with the Jets if the Jets draft him number one overall, if Adam Gase is still here? That might be a no. I would be surprised. And I don't know, in the break, because I've been meaning to do this, I want to Google and see who Trevor Lawrence's agent is, because agents have such a huge say in a lot of the decision-making process for a lot of the players.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the segment that I've been looking most forward to. Mike Westhoff joins us. First and foremost, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Anita. I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
Yeah, I think about you often. I want you to be safe. You know, these
I'm
are
I'm doing
very,
fine. Yeah, I'm doing. I miss our show. I miss the old time. I miss our show on Sunday morning.
So do I. You're so delightful. I thought it would be appropriate to bring you on because I know the Taysom Hill story. Mm-hmm. You were so kind to clue me in on what an exceptional young gentleman he was and is. And I was able to come out to one of your games when you were the special teams coach for the Saints and had an opportunity to sit down and interview him. And I wrote an article about him on The Athletic. But I thought it would be great because I think tomorrow is going to be a really special day for him. And I think, you know, where we are in society right now, right? COVID's on the uptick. You know, we're being told not to celebrate Thanksgiving with family because it's just too risky. You know, there's a lot of negatives right now. I think this is one of the best rags to riches stories in the NFL and we're going to see it play out, at least the first start of it, tomorrow. And so I thought it'd be great to have you on, Mike, and just kind of like share your story in regard to the first time you laid eyes on Taysom Hill and how you brought him onto your special teams.
Sure, I'll do it quickly. You know, I was in 2017. I was, you know, working the radio show with you on Sunday morning, and I did the SNY both for the Jets, both pre and post game. And I lived in Florida. I really enjoyed it. And I get a call in the middle of the season from the New Orleans Saints, and they said, you know, a guy that I knew that was good friends with Sean Payton calls me up and said, Mike, you want to go to the New Orleans Saints? And I said, no, I'm not interested. He said, no, seriously, they really want you to go. They'll pay you whatever. I said, no, I don't want to go. He said, would you talk to Sean Payton on Monday after the game? I said, sure. I never met Sean Payton in my life. The only name I knew at the New Orleans Saints was Drew Brees. I didn't know anybody. Okay, I got on the phone. He talked it over with them, and I made an agreement to come down. I would coach for them. He let me do everything. He made me a tremendous deal. I made him commit that he would not fire someone because he was thinking of firing a guy. I wouldn't let him do it. So I took off, and I went to the Saints. I didn't know anybody. And I walked in. Now, fortunately, the guy that was there had worked with at the Redskins with the guy who was my assistant. So they were using my notebook. So it was pretty easy for me because it was all my stuff. So I walked in, and away I went. I took over and took the whole team over. Didn't even know anybody. Very difficult, but it was fun because we were pretty good. Sean said that he thought they had a really good team, but their special teams were terrible. So when I went in, let's see, when I walked in there, they were ranked 31st in the NFL. And when I left, we were first. So I helped them, that's for sure. Anyway, I didn't know anybody. I'm walking through the locker room one day, and I see this young man coming out of a shower with a towel, and he looks like Hercules. I said, who is this guy? They said, he's a quarterback. His name's Taysom Hill. He never dresses. He's always ineligible. So I went to Sean Payton. I said, can you tell me about him? I said, and he gave me his whole history. You know, he grew up in Utah. Originally, he was going to go to Stanford. Then he's Mormon. He went on a mission, and he came back, and he played quarterback at Brigham Young. He had some injuries during his years at Brigham Young. Though Green Bay had signed him, and then the Saints picked him up after they released him to see if they had an athlete. I told Sean, I said, what does he run? And he said, well, we have several scouts that had him at 4.3s. I said, whoa, that guy can run that fast? I said, I've had a lot of luck in my career with quarterbacks utilizing them on special teams. I go back to Jim Jensen at Miami. Of course, I had Brad Smith, you know, with the Jets, and even, you know, Tim Tebow a little bit. And I said, can I take a look at him? He said, sure. So I called a young man into my office. I said, all right, here's your choice. Here's your, you want to get maybe a chance to play or stand around the sideline in your sweatsuit. What do you think? And he said, I'd love to try it. He never played a special teams play in his life. I took him out on the field on Wednesday, put him in a few situations, practiced him, kept him after practice. We had a meeting that night with Sean. He said, Mike, what do you think? I said, dress him. You're going to be shocked. And I was right. I was 100% right. First play, we're playing Carolina. We kick off. He runs down the field on a kickoff coverage team. He runs between their two best blockers and tackles the guy in the 15-yard line. And now this is back when kicks were being returned, not like today. You know, I could cover today, and I'm 72, please. Anyway, he makes a couple plays like that toward the end of the game. It looks like he rushes the punter. The guy can't punt the ball. He tries to run. We tackle him. We get the ball. Drew Brees scores the winning touchdown. He gets the game ball. Those next 2 years, he was probably the best special teams player in the National Football League. I would argue that adamantly. And then from then, it just, you could see he could do more and more and more and more. Now, the New Orleans Saints are exceptionally creative on offense. Sean Payton, you know, Pete Carmichael, those guys are good coaches now. They're really good. And they'll have, you know, and they kept using him, putting a little more here, a little something there. He can do everything. He weighs 225 pounds. He'll run you right over. He's one of the fastest guys on their football team. He can throw. For me, he could punt, he could kick, he could long snap, he could cover kicks, he could block punts, he could play any position, and he's tough as hell and he's smart. I mean, it's like a no-brainer. So, you know, they've integrated him more and more, and I remember talking to Sean a year ago when I went and visited with him. He was anxious for the day, not obviously to get Drew gone, but when Drew is gone, to give this guy a chance to see if he could be their starting quarterback. So I know that he believes in him. I know he has to alter a package a little bit for him, what you do. You know, it's not exactly going to be the same things that Drew does. But if there's anyone that deserves a chance, it came out of nowhere. Matter of fact, last week, I guess a week before that, one of their guys called me and said that Sean on his television show introduced him as Taysom Westhoff.
I love that.
It was pretty cool, yeah. I got a kick out of it. And he told the story about how I came to him, and I fought for him adamantly and got him going and you know, gave him a chance. And they used to all tease me. Oh, yeah, how's your guy doing? I said, pretty good. You wait, because he's going to be your guy next. And I was right. So it makes, I couldn't be happier when he got a new contract last year. It changed his whole life. And for me, in the role that I've had in my career, this is the very best type of things. And frankly, you know this, I'm writing a whole book about it, and I'm really having fun doing it. So a great story, and I hope it continues and goes in the right direction.
It is. It's such a feel-good story, Mike, and it's just it's such a direct representation of who you are as a human being and why I love you so damn much, and why I think, you know, whether you're a Saints fan or not, why I think a lot of us should be cheering and rooting for Taysom Hill, because it is a rags-to-riches story. With that being said, what are your expectations for him tomorrow? I mean, obviously, as we know, and now you sharing this story, this isn't something that the Saints and Sean has cooked up in just a week. This is something that has been in the making. So I would imagine that this is something that has been well executed. I mean, how frightened should the Atlanta Falcons defense be at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon?
It really makes you prepare for a lot. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, preparing for Baltimore, you know, with Jackson, it can do so many things. And, in fact, I did a radio thing, in the summer, and they were asking me about Taysom, and I was talking, because he's very similar to, you know, Jackson at Baltimore. I said, yeah, except he throws better. Oh, my goodness gracious. Everybody in Baltimore was yelling at me, but I believe it. I mean, I know how he can throw. Now, we're going to find out, because it's certainly different being the starting quarterback as rather a guy that just comes in for a couple special plays. But he can make all the throws. Plus, he can run so well. You know, not only is he a big, powerful guy, he's fast. He is really fast. And then, of course, you never know. You bring Winston in, you move him over and you throw the ball to him because he can catch. So it presents a lot of problems for your defense because, you know, he can run the option. And believe me, Sean Payton is very creative. He'll have a whole package. And you'll see so many different personnel groups running in there with him. You know, all of a sudden you could have three tight ends. You'll have two running backs, you know, with Kamara. You know, they'll give you those problems. Now you got Mike Thomas there that's back. And they've got a lot of weapons. And knowing Sean, he'll break them all out. He'll give them all, but he'll keep the package for Taysom very much, you know, something that he feels confident that he can get done. So if you're the Atlanta Falcons, you're going to get prepared for a lot of things, and it's going to be interesting. Can he, you know, is he Drew Brees? No, of course not. But he can make a lot of throws. He can throw the ball deep. He can throw it a long ways. And so that'll be interesting. Will they challenge the Falcons deep? I would say yes. I would say they will. And then they can, you know, you can do so much with them. Presents a lot of problems and makes Atlanta, trust me, their coaches wanted to go home last night, but they're sitting in there watching film trying to figure this out because this is not going to be easy.
That's for sure. Mike, last question for you. How do you game script? How do you see this playing out? I mean, do you think this is going to be like a total domination because Atlanta doesn't know what to expect? Do you feel that, you know, Atlanta actually has been doing well since Raheem Morris has taken over for Dan Quinn? They're 3-1. They should be 4-0 if it wasn't for Todd Gurley. So, you know, how game script, how do you see this game playing out tomorrow?
That's a really good question. That's really interesting. I think, you know, knowing Sean, don't think that Winston is completely out of the package. Don't be surprised if Sean ends up using both of those guys tomorrow. That wouldn't shock me because Sean loves to have a lot of arrows in that quiver. So I can see that he'd be prepared to do a little something with that. But I think he'll bring him in and you know, be able to run with him, get him out of the pocket a little bit, and then have, you know, underneath routes that he can throw to. That's pretty good. I also think he'll challenge them deep because he can drop back and fire it. You know, and the Saints have shown almost none of that. They have shown none of that. They haven't thrown, you know, they've only thrown a couple passes over 20 yards. They just haven't done it. Even they complete a million, but they haven't done that. So I think you will see that type of plan. That'll have that mixed in and do those types of things. That's kind of where I see it coming from. You're going to see him running the football because all of a sudden it's like getting the extra guy, you know, because you've got a big, powerful running back, and now you can bring in, you know, what do? You're not going to let Alvin Kamara go. I mean, so they present a lot of problems. And, you know, I don't think we'll see much of this, but you could do a thing where, you know, he would take the ball and pitch it to Kamara, and then he's also involved as a blocker because he is a really good blocker. So I don't expect to see too much of that one, but I think one of the things that will be a little different, I think you'll see him throw it deep. And then they're going to get him out of the pocket on the perimeter to see if he can throw it underneath or he'll take off and run because he's really a threat. Going to be exciting and a problem for Atlanta. Is a much improved football team. So I think it's going to be a very, very good game and a real challenge for everybody.
Mike, it's going to be a ton of fun. Like I said on Daily Wager this week, buckle up, grab your popcorn, and let's cheer for Taysom Hill this week. Mike, thank you so much. Appreciate your time as always. So great to hear your voice, and I miss you.
Okay, talk to you soon. Thanks.
You got it. Mike Westhoff here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is Click, 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 or Don't. Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
That's right. It's time for Click or Don't Click. We haven't done it in a while. It's kind of a fun way that we tour around a number of the websites, the sports websites, and find out what is trending. And Ty, our producer, leads the way. So, Ty, what you got?
All right, Anita, this can either be perceived as good news if you're a Knicks fan or bad news if you are a Knicks fan. Gordon Hayward, who opted out of the final year of his contract with the Boston Celtics, turning down $34.2 million to return to Boston, has now reached a contract of 4 years, $120 million. That's right, 120 with the Charlotte Hornets. And the conversation, I would say the last 48 or so hours, was him possibly joining the Knicks, coming here to be a star, a veteran player to help get this young group back on track. But Gordon Hayward to the Charlotte Hornets, 4 years, $120 million a year. And we saw a couple of seasons ago, he suffered that gruesome foot injury, mm-hmm. that in the regular season opener. Mm-hmm. I believe it was the Celtics in Cleveland taking on LeBron and the Cavs. Yes, if memory serves me correctly, it was Celtics in Boston. And he came down and tore up his ankle, which was devastating. He missed the rest of that regular season. In his first year back with the Celtics, averaged about 17.5 points per game. But then, for the most part, he's been a disappointment. This past postseason, he got hurt in the opening round. He did come back. But as far as what they envisioned him being after leaving Utah and signing with the Celtics, he had a career year in his final year with the Jazz, but as soon as he came to Boston, it was a disappointment for the entire time. So he goes to Charlotte. You can cross him off the list of potential players that could have joined the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing, you know, but again, it's kind of like, you know, are you looking to kind of mortgage your future now, you know, to what? Like, realistically, you know, you bring in a guy like Hayward, or you bring in a guy like Westbrook for the Knicks. Like, what, you know, optimistically, you know, what are you realistically expecting for the season? You know, making it into the postseason is like maybe a seventh or sixth seed and then possibly getting bounced, or just, you know, believing and trusting the process. Granted, and we touched on it just a second ago, you know, that it really didn't work out the way that it planned for the 76ers. But I think a big reason for that was because of injury.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I'm going to throw this back your way, Ty. On a scale of 1 to 10, in regard to how disappointing do you think this is for Knicks fans to hear this news?
Oh, zero. You wanted no part of Gordon Hayward, especially at that number. He missed 142 games with the Celtics, if you include the playoffs, whereas just 42 in his first seven seasons with the Jazz. So it just completely fell apart for him. And look, when you played, he was pretty good, but the best you can do is to try to be available for your team, and he just wasn't. So is it a disappointment? Absolutely not. It would have been disappointing if they would throw $30 million at Gordon Hayward, who can't stay healthy, and he looks like he's on the other side of his prime.
Right.
So he goes to Charlotte, and there you have it. Another team, or another player, I should say, that was on the radar for the Knicks was point guard Fred VanVleet, who was excellent last year for the Raptors, averaged somewhere between 17 and 18 points per game. Today, it was announced that he has agreed to a four-year, $85 million extension. So he stays in Toronto. And this is a guy who he plays hard. He's an incredible piece of that puzzle that won a championship in 2019. I know it's a cliche that typically is used in sports, but he's everything you want in a player. He's a short guy, but he gives you everything. He's similar to what Kyle Lowry is, always diving for those loose balls. He can score, he can shoot, he plays defense. So you would understand why Knicks fans wanted him on their roster, but that is not going to happen as he stays in Toronto.
Do you think that's more disappointing?
Yes, it's more disappointing.
Yeah.
But at that number, I wonder, like, obviously he's a good player, but there has to be an element of Nick Nurse being an exceptional coach with the ability to maximize the potential of every player on his roster. He's got a great system there, obviously proven by the fact that they won a championship 2 years ago. If this player left Nick Nurse and that system, would he be compromised? Not that he would become a bad player, but not playing up to this level of production, because he is leaving one of the best coaches in all of basketball. So maybe you get a compromised, lesser version of him. But for Toronto, this is excellent news. You go into next season still as a perennial playoff contender. You're not going to win a championship, but you're going to be a fun team that can be anywhere from the 1 through 4 seed in the Eastern Conference. So this is great news for Toronto.
What other news is trending?
So last night, more NBA news. You had Montrezl Harrell. He left he left the Clippers to go to the Lakers. So that's poor news if you're a Clippers fan. You lose one of your best players. He was the sixth man last year. Mm-hmm. But Anita, a lot of NBA free agency news coming down. It started yesterday at 6 o'clock p.m., so we're going to see a bunch of news trickle in. And obviously the biggest... It's not even a question mark because we know what's going to happen. But the biggest, most marquee free agent that's on the table right now is Anthony Davis. And you have to figure there's no chance he's going to leave the Lakers. He's got a chance to, you know, go back-to-back. He, LeBron James and company, there's no chance he's leaving the Lakers. So you figure he's at some point next week going to announce that he re-signs. And it's either going to be a short-term deal where he's able to set himself up for an even larger payday, or it's going to be that five-year extension that everyone has been talking about for the last couple of seasons.
What, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like a sure done deal that Harden comes to the Nets, what are you feeling? What are you hearing?
I don't know if it's going to happen, honestly. Just because James Harden is one of the 6-7 best players in basketball. It's so tough if you're an organization a couple of years removed from going to Game 7 of the Western Conference, where you had a legitimate chance of beating the Warriors had it not been for Chris Paul hurting his hamstring and knocking him out of that playoff series. You were constructed to win a championship. You kept knocking on the door of it. And you just were never ultimately able to overcome that hump that was the Golden State Warriors, one of the greatest teams you've ever seen. It's hard to go from that and then a couple of years later just trading away a guy of this caliber. You're never going to – I don't want to say never, but it'll be hard-pressed for you to ever find a player this good, this talented, you know, to come play for your team, and you're just going to trade him away. Now, if the deal is juicy enough for you to do it, obviously you have to pull the trigger. But, I mean, it's going to be tough for them to trade James Harden away unless he sits there and he demands it. Because we know this is a players' league. You always talk about it. The players, the stars run this league. But, I mean, at some point he may get traded, but to Brooklyn, I don't know.
How devastating do you think that would be for
the Knicks?
I know.
That's tough, right? Because you set yourself up in free agency to attract the likes of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. You missed on both of them. And you didn't just miss. They came to this city and went to the little brother in Brooklyn. Now to have James Harden become available with they don't have player assets, but they've got picks and they've got cap space. James Harden becomes available and he also goes to the Nets. That's a hard pill to swallow. That is, I mean, you can't get up from that, especially because it almost guarantees they're going to get at least one championship. I know a lot of people say, well, how is it going to work? They're too ball dominant. Listen, I don't know. Name me the NBA team that didn't win a championship because they had too much talent. That's never happened before. So you would figure, barring any injury, they would get at least one title. But yeah, that would be that would be tough to handle if you're a Knicks fan, Anita.
This is what is trending at 2:45 on this Saturday afternoon. We come back. We'll continue with your calls, 800-919-3776. We really haven't touched on, you know, I know that the Giants are on a bye this week, but still. A lot happened over there at that facility.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.